His earlier books were more or less reference pieces comparing and rating malt brews, while Michael Jackson's Beer Companion will offer detailed profiles on about 200 of his favorites, plus a general overview of the beverage's place in civilization. In fact, says Jackson, beer could be what caused civilization in the first place.
The protagonist of that theory is a professor at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, and his argument is that mankind stopped being hunters and gatherers and settled in to live in organized communities in order to grow crops, and the first crops were grains, and those grains were used, the reason they grew those crops was to make beer. And there is quite a lot of archaeological evidence to suggest that that is true, that man lived by beer alone before he lived by bread alone. And we're talking about Mesopotamia about 4,000 to 5,000 years ago, or possibly a little earlier than that. There's also been some very recent work at the University of Pennsylvania in which they took traces of shards of pottery, and they analyzed them and began to think that this was beer sediment that was 4,000 or 5,000 years old. And they actually went to a local brewery, the Dock Street Brewery in Philadelphia, and said, you know, what kind of sediment do you get on the inside of your vessels? Could we have some and take a look at it? And they discovered that the sediment that's forming on the inside of brewing vessels in Philadelphia today is remarkably similar to the sediment that they found in vessels from Mesopotamia 4,000 or 5,000 years ago.
As for the modern varieties,
the sort of beer that we could take off the shelf today and recognize as beer, you could really say that porters, which are still made in the United States, the oldest brewery in the United States is a brewery, again, in Pennsylvania, as it happens, one called Youngling in Pottsville, Pennsylvania. They make a porter. Porter is a dark, roasty style of beer that dates from the early 1700s. Pale ales date from the early 1800s. Golden lagers, which most American beers are, date from Pilsen and Budweiss in the early to mid 1800s. So beer as we would recognize it comes from the 1700s and 1800s.
Now, where does light beer come from?
Light beer is something that I find hard to take seriously. I mean, American beer is already very light. And when breweries said we're going to make something called light beer, it struck me rather as though Volkswagen cars were going to say, now we're going to make a compact. Light beer was actually invented. If one can dignify such a sort of prostitution of a product with any serious discussion, it was first made in the United States by a company called Gablinger, which has now gone out of business. Of course, it was really commercially made popular by Miller. In, I guess that was the late 1970s, early 80s, it really began to take off.
Did you ever go into a pub or restaurant and just say, give me a beer?
And nobody would go into a restaurant and say, you know, the waiter comes along to you in the restaurant, you don't say, oh, bring me a plate of food, please. I mean, you know, you tell him what kind of food you have in mind. Nobody really says, give me a glass of wine. I mean, at the very least, they distinguish between white and red and dry and sweet. But people do say, give me a beer.
Jackson says beer can offer all the subtleties and sophistication of wine, and his new book will include a wine lover's guide to beer.
Far more beer is drunk than wine, whether we're talking about North America or Europe or the whole of the world. Far more beer is drunk than wine. But there's far more knowledge of wine. An awful lot of people do know the difference between a red wine and a white wine and a still wine and a sparkling wine and a dry one and a sweet one and a red one from France and a red one from California, one from Bordeaux, one from Burgundy. And people don't appreciate that same range of characteristics exists within beers. I mean, most people, if you imagine somebody who's only ever drunk Chablis, most beer drinkers are in that situation. They've only drunk the Chablis of the beer world, the very light golden lager that's a distant derivative of Pilsner lager. That's what 99% of beer consumed in the United States and in many parts of the world is. So what I've tried to do in the Wine Lover's Guide to Beer, I said, well, know, you understand the Chablis, okay, that's where everyday beer fits in. You understand that there's something different, which is Chardonnay. Well, the Chardonnay of the beer world is a true, proper, serious Pilsner beer. The Cabernet of the beer world is an English pale ale. The Gewürztraminer of the beer world is a spicy Vienna-style darker lager. The Amontillado sherry of the beer world is a dry stout, like Guinness or Murphy, and so on. That's the system that this. It's fairly lighthearted. I'm not saying these products taste the same, but I'm trying to help people understand that there are different beers for different moments and different moods, and different beers for different foods. And if you understand wines a little bit, you can make some comparisons with beers.
Do you have any basic rules, like golden lager with fish and porter with red meat?
I think you can look at it this way. I mean, one of the reasons that people don't get the full enjoyment that they could get out of beer is because they misunderstand beer. A lot of people think that beer is just something you drink when you're feeling hot, when you've mowed the lawn. Well, most of the well-known beers are lawn mowing beers, you know, but there are beers for other moments. And I mean, if you were having oysters on the half shell, have those with a dry stout like Guinness, and that's just a fantastic combination. If you're having a white fish, then I would indeed recommend a very dry Pilsner beer like Pilsner Urquell from Czechoslovakia. There are one or two beers of that type now being made in the United States too. If you are having red meat, I'd certainly recommend an English pale ale.
All a matter of going for maximum enjoyment, according to Jackson.
I also do love wine, and I don't for one moment suggest that people should stop drinking wine with food. But I do think that you should consider, when you're making a meal, is this a meal that cries out for wine, or is this a meal that beer might be more fun to have with? I think one reason that people, even if they have that thought, very often people finish up not having beer because they think it's too bulky to drink with food. But that's sort of based on the assumption that you have you drink beer out of a large glass, and there's really no reason why, you know, if you and your partner are having dinner, you don't actually have to have a whole big glass of a different beer with every course. But, you know, you can open a bottle and share it between you. In a reasonable sized wine glass, and have that type of beer with that course, and then for the next course, well, let's open another bottle and have another style, and let's see how this one goes down.
My guest has been Michael Jackson, the beer hunter. Bill Fantini, ABC News, Philadelphia. Now back to Bob Walker. Now back to Tim O'Donnell. Now back to New York.